They know more about sports than you do.
I got news for you. Brock's not going to be any better.
And even if they don't, we'll continue to say they do.
Like, who has...
I'm sorry. Honestly, I couldn't hear you over him scoring a game-high 29 points.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter because you lost.
It's Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden on Drive Time Sports.
Hey, you touched me.
On Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports, Ryan, Chris, and Wheels with you. Congratulations to Chris, not that Chris, other Chris, listener Chris, who is the winner of the pair of tickets to the I Love the 90s tour at Fiddler's Green Amphitheater, of course. The answer was Joe Carter.
Not Larry Walker, people.
Or
Juan Encarnacion.
Juan Encarnacion.
What did I say?
It's okay. Juan Encarnacion. I got to tell you, more people got this question right, though, than yesterday's question, which was where was the first UFC held?
That's true.
And I kind of understand it, but at the same time.
I think Joe Carter was.
Although more people got right, so I guess I can't say anything, but I feel like.
I think
like
we have more baseball fans than MMA fans.
Well, and
to a general person.
Joe Carter's kind of iconic. The home runs are pretty iconic.
And what was going on
in the
skybox during that game?
I hear you. What was Jim Thome's batting average in 1992 when he played for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox? That is coming tomorrow.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. I don't even know where to find that kind of information.
Jim Thome.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. Thome.
I'm sorry.
Thome. We got to make it French. Thome.
Coming up in 14 minutes, we'll be joined by Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting and the Sporting News to give you a primer on the NFL Scouting Combine. What does each quarterback need to show the scouts in order to improve their position? And why is Sam Darnold not throwing? We don't have an answer. We all agree that it is a bad idea and he's getting some bad intel. But why would he? What is that intel? Why is he being told? Eric will know, and he will let us all of us in on it. Coming up in the next segment, Crunch Time Bottom of the Hour, 286-0046. That is the text line. Also, you could hit us up on Twitter, and we're incentivizing you. Best tweet and best text each get a $25 gift certificate to Texas T-Bone. So your tweeters. Tweet at XTRA Sports 1300, all one word, and let us know your thoughts on any of the topics we discussed today. Also, vote in our poll, which is kind of leading us into this
And if
discussion.
You're texting the show, I enjoy Will Ferrell GIFs. Just saying.
Don't worry. You don't have to necessarily suck up to Chris in order to win Text of the Day.
Although
he does
I am
decide,
picking.
But I have...
Do you have veto power?
I have veto power, but it's a very loose veto power. Like, it's only if you were blatantly giving it to somebody who's sucking up to you.
Right.
Then I do not allow it.
Go Buffs.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
But
we had one of those yesterday, and they were in the running until it was between him and the one that won.
But that's
and the ones from Thursday, obviously.
Right. I'd rather give it to people who say go Falcons because local.
That don't count.
Neither one of them count because it's not a salient point.
It is a salient point.
It is not a
salient hashtag
point.
Buffs for life wins.
All right. So our poll question today is if we're moving on from Cousins for now, we're not giving up, but it's not looking awesome.
Can we pretend it's not going to happen?
For this discussion, I think
we need
to. I
just don't want my heart broken no more.
That's fine. I mean, some of us are able to realize, like, when I found out that the Avalanche were a reported destination for Erik Karlsson, I said, that is both awesome and totally not true.
Right.
And well, or not that it's not true, that's not going to happen. That is totally awesome and that is totally not going to happen. I am able to have both emotions and be disappointed and excited at the same time.
So my daughter's going through a thing with her boyfriend, and she's like, what did you do with girlfriends back in the day, like, if they were to do so, like cheat on you or whatever? And I was like, I'd just break up with them. And like, what does that mean? I would never contact them again. I just never did. And she was like, really?
Are you breaking up with Kirk Cousins? Is that what you're
I am.
At?
I am. Kirk, you know.
He didn't even do anything. He didn't even turn you down. We are
It's a preemptive breakup.
Right. If you are the Broncos, yeah. you are.
I feel like you're going to hurt me. Right. So I'm just going to break up with you now.
Yes.
I am standing. I am courting a lady, and standing next to me is Ryan Gosling, and I say, "Okay, I'm out."
Well, and that's like you're like.
Thank you for the time. I see what's going to happen here. Ryan Gosling is the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos.
Have you ever been at a dance and you're like, I could ask that girl to dance, but I know she's got a boyfriend. So I'll just ask this other one to dance instead, even though I like the one with the boyfriend better. I'm just going to pass on her.
Well, the Broncos and Vikings are both suitors.
Not really.
I would say it's more like you're standing next to Jeff Bezos. This dude's got money.
He's he'd be Jeff Bezos if Jeff Bezos looked like Ryan Gosling, because the Vikings not an attractive team to go to? Period. Forget money.
I don't think the city is.
See, that's the issue. The city downgrades it a little bit.
Yes, because really, if you
Jeff Bezos is would an you ugly date? Dude. He's not Bill Gates.
Would you date? Insert. Emma Stone or yes. whatever, would you date her if she lived in a dingy apartment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so Kirk, the fact that the Vikings are located in Minneapolis. Okay, but what I'm saying is I think that you
didn't ask the right question. You should have asked. Would you date Emma Stone?
Let's do this for the next episode.
Would you date Mila Kunis if she lived in a cave? Yes.
Would Kirk Cousins go to the Vikings if they were located in Minneapolis, which they are?
I think you have to think about that one. Because if let's think.
Would you date a good-looking girl if she lived in a house with no heat?
So Kirk Cousins isn't really – but Kirk Cousins likes to golf, and he's not really a party guy like some NFL players are.
Well, then Minneapolis is for him.
You can't golf.
Yeah.
It's like cold. But
how many days a year can you golf in here in Colorado?
Oh, every month.
Pretty much.
Almost once a week at least. Yeah. But like how many players that played in the NFL literally said that Minneapolis is the most boring place they'd ever been? There is nothing to do. It's boring. All we could do is go to the mall.
Unless you like fishing.
Exactly.
Because there's thousands of lakes.
Like they have lakes in the middle of
like literally thousands. Literally.
Remember Katie Nolan went she went ice fishing? Did you see that video?
No, I saw when her and Emmanuel Sanders went personal shopping for people within the Mall of America.
Yeah, I'm saying no to anything west of Denver.
Okay.
Or east of Denver, sorry.
So if we decide the point of all of this and Jeffrey texts in, I'd date Emma Stone if she lived in a ditch.
Yes, me too. I would have a better chance.
The Minnesota Vikings is the best. If we're all on the if all the teams are on The Bachelor, the Vikings are the team that the guy that is the best looking.
No.
He also has not the most money, but he has a ton of money.
Yeah.
The only thing is he lives in his van.
And
is that the analogy that we can all go with here?
And his dad's in the pokey.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just making it worse.
It's the van parked down by the river.
It doesn't matter where the van is. It's a van.
And they don't have a driver's license either. Walking around.
That makes it worse.
Yeah.
We understand that Minneapolis is not Denver or Phoenix or New York.
Just saying all that made me feel so good about my life right now.
Right. I really...
I'm in a good spot. Thank you, Jesus. I feel good.
Oh, wow.
The point of all of this is, and we got to get to Eric Galco, so we can't discuss this other topic. But the idea is, if we are moving on from Cousins, at least mentally for now, then who? And the reason what prompted this question is, one, because the Vikings are reportedly in on Kirk Cousins. And then report today from Ian Rappaport says, not only are they just saying, no thanks to Case Keenum. They are reportedly going to let Teddy Bridgewater walk out of town. So now
is Sam
all
Bradford
of a sudden,
under contract or is he?
Nope,
a free
he's
agent?
A free agent anyway.
Okay.
So the idea here is, all right. So if Kirk Cousins is gone, but Keenum and now Bridgewater are both available.
There's a lot of stories too that if Bridgewater ends up in another team, watch out. watch out. He's going to have some venom.
So the question is, and you can either answer it on Twitter, at extrasports1300, or you can text us at 286-0046. And no, Craig, we have not been hitting the sauce. We just get super geeked out about analogies.
Yeah. I think my blood sugar is high, though.
The choices that we give you on Twitter are Keenum, Bridgewater, McCarron, or draft a quarterback. Tell us who, if you'd like.
Yeah.
There is one thing on here. Who wrote this? Wasn't Will Brinson.
I'm starting to warm
up
to the Teddy Bridgewater idea.
It was one of his buddies over at CBS, I think. Man, yes, Cody Benjamin at CBS Sports. Yeah, I just murdered trees today. He predicted that of the Vikings quarterbacks, Sam Bradford would be the one that would end up in Denver. Not Teddy, not Case.
My buddy called me about that this morning. I'll have to tell that later. Because he gave me a whole scenario where Sam Bradford comes to the Broncos. He's going to be injured by week 6. Then Sam Darnold starts. And I was like, it's a beautiful idea.
That is good.
You could have great quarterback play for 6 weeks.
But what happens, yeah, super accurate, and then he's hurt, and then we have to put in Sam Darnold.
Right.
The NFL Combine going down this weekend in Indianapolis, and already some juicy information as Sam Darnold reportedly will not throw. It's like Jerry Seinfeld, who will not race. Sam Darnold will not throw. What does that mean? Why is he doing this? And who has the most to prove this weekend in Indianapolis? We're not smart enough to answer those questions ourselves, so we enlist the expert help of Eric Galco from Optimum Scouting and Sporting News. Eric, good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Combine this week, and I get to talk to you guys because I'm finally relevant for the first time in at least a few months, guys.
Oh,
you're totally relevant.
You're totally relevant. I guess I'm not as interested in the how does this affect him as much as I'm in the why. Why is Sam Darnold not throwing?
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to Sam yet, but if I had to give an educated guess, a few reasons. One, doesn't really feel like it's going to help him. If anything, it might hurt him. He is working on tweaking his release. I've been told that his release looks a lot better than it did in college. That's one of the concerns on film for him, is that, you know, his mechanics aren't perfect yet. So I think for his sake, he doesn't feel comfortable showing that off, whether he's not ready or just want to be a negative. I think partially, and again, this isn't something I know for sure, but I can extrapolate a little bit. Maybe he feels like, why should I do everything when I'm going to be a Cleveland Brown first overall? why go out there and work out at all if I'm going to be the first overall pick? It's obviously a little bit of conjecture on my end, but hey, I think he's the first overall pick. Everyone I talk to in the league feels it's more likely than not that he'll be the first overall pick. So if you're him, you know, why work harder than you have to?
You know, that's the thing about Sam Darnold. He's kind of been my guy. I just like watching him play, and I like the way that he's built. He passes the eyeball test, but then you have some NFL teams saying that he might be like a mini project, not ready to start until the middle to the end of next season. And then you got teams like, you know, the Cleveland Browns want to get him and just shoot him out of the gate. Where do you think Sam Darnold really kind of falls as far as his impact on next year?
Yeah, he'll be the first overall pick. I'll be very surprised if he's not a Cleveland Brown next year. But you know, I think the way to look at Sam Darnold is, first off, NFL teams and a lot of people in the industry, agents, other college teams, et cetera, were really expecting him to return to school. And he declared for reasons that, you know, I haven't talked to him yet, haven't become totally clear, but I think a lot of teams were thinking that, hey, next year as a 2019 quarterback prospect, he may be on par with an Andrew Luck out of Stanford. I mean, that's how excited teams are about what he could become as, you know, not a perfect quarterback prospect, but very few guys were in that Andrew Luck tier coming out of college, and they felt Darnold could be that. So he's kind of a year too early, kind of, you know, sophomore year Andrew Luck, sophomore year Jameis Winston, another good comparison, a guy who's not ready yet. But I think if you look at him as a 2019 guy, that's why teams are so excited about him. And for Cleveland, they're going to sign a free agent. It seems, shockingly, that A.J. McCarron is their guy. They want to sign a free agency. But if that's the case, it will be almost like a Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky situation where it's only a matter of time before Darnold gets a shot to play. But I think his ceiling is – I think Jameis Winston may be his floor, as crazy as that sounds. I think his ceiling is Carson Wentz, prime Andrew Luck. I think he could be that special of a quarterback.
You brought up A.J. McCarron. We were just discussing the news of Teddy Bridgewater's impending release and how things have shifted because we here, obviously, in Colorado, felt like the winning alternative to the boatloads of money that Cleveland or the Jets could offer Kirk Cousins. The Broncos could get in the same realm, but they would also be a winning franchise to go to. Now that the Minnesota Vikings are apparently throwing their lot in here, do you think that unless they really lowball him, that maybe the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes is effectively over? Because why wouldn't you want to go to a team that was one win away from a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think part of it, you know, first of all, I still believe that Denver is the favorite for Kirk Cousins. And I think that John Elway and his easy pitches, first off, I'm John Elway, and come work with me and be my friend. But also the fact that he told Peyton Manning, you come here and we'll get you a Super Bowl. And he did it. And I think that can really resonate with Kirk Cousins because, you know, teams rise up and down. The Jaguars and Vikings were great this year. You know, it's an easy point to make. Hey, every year new teams are great. Who knows what's going to happen in the NFC? And maybe the Vikings were a one-year wonder. All these pitches can be made. But Denver and John Elway have proven that with a quarterback, they believe of Kirk Cousins' quality, they can be a Super Bowl team. So I think Denver, coupled with the fact that Kirk Cousins has been thinking about Denver all season, Kirk Cousins has been evaluating a lot of his options. I don't think he nor most people in the league thought Minnesota would be a viable option. I still think that Minnesota is more of a leverage play by Kirk Cousins and his people saying, hey, Minnesota wants me. Denver, you give me all the money you possibly can or else I'm going to Minnesota and you're left with A.J. McCarron. But I think for a lot of teams, that Kirk Cousins, you know, salary is going to look, A, good in a couple of years. The quarterback salary is going to go up more and more. And for Minnesota, better off getting Case Keenum, who just took you to the NFC title game, and Teddy Bridgewater on a smaller deal than pay a lot of money for Kirk Cousins. So I think the Broncos want him, and I think a lot of teams would be better off by not paying for Kirk Cousins. But I think the Broncos, what I've been told for a while now, are still the favorite.
Making a lot of friends out here in Colorado, Eric. Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So let's shift back to the Combine. Which quarterback do you think can benefit the most from this weekend?
Yeah, great question. Easy one. It's Lamar Jackson. And I think more so than what he shows on the field, he is a special athlete. The only way that his on-field work hurts him is if he is woefully inaccurate, which you look at his production and even the film for some bad games, he wasn't that accurate of a passer, and he should definitely improve there and show that on the field that during the combine. But he's going to have, you know, probably the best, if not one of the best, numbers of any quarterback at Indianapolis, depending on what drills he runs. That shouldn't be an issue. But the question for Lamar Jackson is, how is he going to leave that Bobby Petrino offense? Can he interview well? And teams are worried. Teams aren't assuming it's going to be a bad interview or that he is not going to show the mental ability to handle these things. But as a junior, as well as a guy who teams didn't get a lot of access to in college, they just don't know. And if he goes in there and can thoroughly impress more than expected, there's a real chance that Lamar Jackson goes in round one. But right now, Lamar Jackson opted not to sign an agent this year. He has no, you know, main advisor besides his mother, which could work, but historically that stuff doesn't usually work out too well. And teams are really concerned that he's not prepared for the gauntlet that is NFL combine interviews. And for a guy who has so much talent but still a lot to gain or lose at the combine, if he's not prepared, I think a lot of teams might say, you know what, he could be great, but we're not going to take that risk early in the draft too. So I'd say right now he is going to go in round two, and I hope that, you know, I'm mistaken and he has great advisors and he can be a high draft pick because his ceiling is as high as any quarterback besides Sam Darnold in this draft class. But based on what I've been told about the process so far, as well as scouts that have gone through there at Louisville, I worry about whether or not he's going to impress teams at the combine.
So, Eric, the darling of the Senior Bowl was Kyle Laletta from Richmond. Is he moving his way up draft boards?
Love it. Small school quarterback talk. Love it, guys. absolutely. And I think a lot of scouts and a lot of people on the outside want to compare him to Jimmy Garoppolo. He doesn't have the arm talent that Jimmy Garoppolo had that made him should have been a first-round pick, more likely a second, you know, was it late second-round pick. Laletta's not going to get there. The arm talent's not there to be taken that highly, but a lot of teams are excited about him. He's got a very quick release. He handled three different offensive systems in college over 5 years. He was able to kind of adjust himself in the NFL. Very smart kid, great leader, highly respected at Richmond. It's all there for him to be, at the very least, a high-level backup and capable guy, and at most, a lot more than that. Talked to a scout who said, hey, if he's 90% of Jimmy Garoppolo, that's still a really good NFL quarterback. And if at worst he's a Josh McCown guy, we'll take that too in round three, maybe even round two. So I think Kyle Uletta is a classic example of a guy that says, hey, as a team, let's go get an offensive lineman early in the draft, and we'll take Kyle Uletta in round two. A lot of people are thinking right now, whether it's Josh Allen in round one or Mason Rudolph in round two, or is it Kyle Uletta in round three?
Eric Galco joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So Lamar Jackson's the quarterback with the most to prove or can benefit the most. What do you think about Josh Allen? Because it's very interesting, the dichotomy that's there between scouts and people that are quote-unquote in the know and losers like us who are watching Josh Allen, and we say this dude can't hit the broadside of a barn. What's at stake this weekend for Josh Allen? What do NFL scouts need to see?
Yeah, you mentioned the broad side of the barn. You mentioned the Senior Bowl with Kyle Uletta. I've never seen a quarterback throw more balls in the stands during practice than Josh Allen. I've been with Senior Bowl 10 years, and it's concerning. And I'm talking with scouts, and a lot of the feeling with Josh Allen reminds me of 2 years ago with Christian Hackenberg, where talking to scouts, it was, that guy's talented. He's going to go early, but just not to us. And when everyone plays that game, those guys start to lose their demand in the supply and demand quarterback market. So I still think Josh Allen goes early, but I don't think it's as consensus in the NFL as this media polarization has seemed to make it. But, you know, overall teams know the talent is there, and guys with his arm talent and body type generally can last in the NFL. Whether they're good or not, at least you know that, hey, this guy can make up for lack of talent around him. He can make up for poor offensive line play, make up from receivers, and from a conceptual standpoint, that makes sense. But yeah, I encourage everyone, go on profootballreference.com and look up quarterbacks in college who threw 600 pass attempts or more and completed less than 57% of their passes in their college career. It is a murderer's row of quarterback busts led by Joey Harrington, Kyle Bowler, Ryan Lindley, a lot of bad quarterbacks. So if Josh Allen is successful, it's going to buck a lot of history and a lot of evidence that he should be.
So, Eric, I'm a combine geek, and I jumped the gun the other day, and I just saw combine on NFL Network, and I pushed play. So, like, my DVR is full of 2017 combine footage, which brought me to this question. So, last year, John Ross went nuts and broke all the records in the 40. Top 10 pick with the Bengals, just ended up being a bust. Who is that guy this year? Who's somebody that is going to just jump up at the combine and just everyone's going to fall in love with him, and maybe his play on the field during his college years didn't prove out to be that?
Yeah, it's tough because I liked John Ross a year ago too, and I'll hold out hope that his injury robbed him of the rookie year and he'll have a successful career afterwards. But, you know, a couple guys to watch out for: Taven Bryant, a defensive tackle from Florida. He is going to look like a Greek god during the combine workouts, and I think he'll go really high in the draft. Dante Jackson, a cornerback from LSU, he's going to run in the 4.3s. He's probably the most likely guy to challenge John Ross's record, which won't be broken for a long time, but he's the most likely guy to do it. Those are the two guys I'd watch out for that, hey, they're filmed, they flash, they have talent, and you're going to hear about them as first-round picks after the combine. But just pump the brakes a little bit and don't fall in love with the combine freak that you haven't heard of until Indianapolis. There's a reason you haven't heard of some of these guys. Those are the two guys I know coming in saying, hey, they're going to impress. Their film's okay. I can see why teams could like them, but no way they're going to be first-round picks they'll be touted for after Indianapolis.
It's time for Crunch Time.
What is that?
It's crunch time. It's crunch time. It's crunch time.
Today is also, and this is very fitting for certain tickets we're giving away on the show, National Retro Day.
Yes.
So here's where the question comes in.
Deal.
So remove PlayStation and remove Xbox.
Okay.
What is... And any current Nintendo, what is the favorite old school video game system?
In 90s?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't have to be 90.
So no version of PlayStation. No,
nothing that you can buy now.
Yeah, no versions of Microsoft.
What about a Sega Genesis? Does that count?
Sega Genesis works.
Yeah, I had me a Sega Genesis. Like, see, look, everything's ringing. Everything.
Do you have a watch? Is that an Apple Watch?
Yes. I just got it.
Shouldn't they?
That's my
know
crunch
better?
Time question.
Like, if it was a debt collector, I'd be like, okay, but she should know better.
Right.
She's dealing with agents for overseas, so she's freaking
put them
out.
On the air.
But yeah, I had a Sega Genesis, and I was like, I was so good at Sega Genesis because that was my time where I played video games like all the time. So yeah, I played Sega Genesis many, 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 many hours in college.
I want to say Sega Dreamcast, just to say that from South Park. My actual answer is regular Nintendo. Duck Hunt.
The original.
Mario.
But didn't you have problems with the cartridges? Because I know sometimes the cartridges would just pop up for no reason and stuff like that.
That was a problem with Sega, too. That
mine jammed into the top.
Cartridges are a pain in the
butt. I must have had an old school one. Yeah,
like,
cartridges
remember,
were
cool. And I love the fixes. In Nintendo, as much as I love the games, because you do the the cartridge,
which
and then did you guys do the thing where you put it in the Nintendo and then you like
popped it up and down a few times? Yep. Did that?
Yeah,
I never did Nintendo. I had one, but I played Genesis. I was
something
loyal
goes
to
wrong
Genesis.
With your PS4 or your Xbox. You just like okay, I'm done. You just throw it out.
Well, what can you do with it?
Yeah,
right.
You're like, this has so much memory on it. It's got like a terabyte.
Take the CDs and just pitch them. Nintendo, for me, that was the first one I ever got.
Yeah.
So I was pretty loyal to the Nintendo brand. We went from Nintendo to N64, Nintendo to Super to N64. We weren't really Sega, and we didn't really get into PlayStation. We went from Nintendo, oddly enough, to Xbox when I became on it, but definitely Nintendo.
Yeah.
You?
I was a Nintendo guy too, because that, like you, that was my first system. I got it back when it was like brand new almost.
Was it the gray old school one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then my brother actually got the SNES.
Mm.
I went over to Sega.
Okay.
And that was mine.
Ah,
that was my jam. I loved Sega.
I'm with you, man. NBA Jam, all the football games, man. Sega was like back then.
Yeah, and it's funny. So I had the Game Gear, you know, the handheld one.
Yeah,
and I found it like this was like 10 years ago or so, and I found it and I put some batteries in it just to see if
did it work.
It still worked.
Oh, that's cool.
And
man.
I tried playing it. I had a hockey game in it. Oh my god, that was so hard.
I found my old Atari and I just gave it to my sister-in-law. I had a bunch of games too.
I
was told that was worth the money.
My brother just these have been around for a little while, but my brother just his girlfriend just gave him one of those ones where you could just stick it in and you play all the games. Like it's not an actual Atari.
Yeah.
It looks
We were playing like Pitfall.
Oh, I loved Pitfall.
It was before my time, so I was never into Atari, but I'm looking back at these games, and I'm like, this is amazing. You know, quick side note, what the worst gaming system is?
What?
Virtua Boy. Did you guys ever do
that? Never even heard of that.
Oh, my. So you stuck your eyes into like a, it was almost like a viewfinder, kind of, but you stuck your eyes in it, and everything was red. Red and black.
Ugh.
And it was supposed to be in like 3D. And you could play like Star Fox and stuff in it, but it would like melt your retinas.
Yeah.
After a while. Like
never
it was
heard
one
of, it.
Of those. Like I had a cousin who got every game system and we played the Virtual Boy, and that was not a good experience. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you again tomorrow at 3. Up next, the Frank Ceratori Show with Jay Ritchie. And Frank Ceratori, they're standing by at Old Chicago, and they come your way next.